Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Boom. Bum 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 bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum.
You're listening to Two in the Think Tank News.com, where the world comes to you and the voices are something weird's happening with this.
Why?
I know it's fine.
Yeah, great. You're listening to Two in the Think Tank, the podcast, where we come up with five sketch ideas. Andy's brain just broke.
No, well, the recording device was behaving in a strange way, Alistair.
Oh, the recording device.
I protest. You know, I don't. I think you think that the problem was with me, but actually, I was just struggling to interface with modern technology, which is the thing that we can all relate to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but in a way, every single person is a recording device.
You're right.
Mm.
Although I would say that the audio quality of the Andy Matthews personal recording device is low.
Yeah, right? No, it's bad. It's
my ability to reproduce.
I think it's kind of better at just processing because it turns music into a feelings.
That's a great way. That is a really good way to store data, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, you're right. The compression there is really, really high,
yeah,
and it makes efficient use of... That is what it is, isn't it? That's what feelings are. They're a compression algorithm.
Yeah.
It's a way of turning information
into
a simple, storable unit...
Of information known as a gist.
Kilogist.
A mega gist. But I mean, that you could only get mega gists once we get computers to store information in the way that humans do.
I don't know. We could calculate, like, you know, once you've got the gist of a certain number of things in your own head, I would say that you've stored.
That's true.
A kilogist, a megagist.
Oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I guess after 30 years of life, which I'm starting to move quickly away from the number 30. I've realized I'm gonna be 35 this year. I don't know if I've said that. I just realized that's halfway to not being anywhere near 30.
I don't think age is a barrier.
Yeah,
but 40 certainly feels like a pretty big hurdle.
Oh, my God. I never want to reach 40.
The fact that 40 is even on the cards for me is crazy.
Yeah. I think I'd like to skip it sort of like you would the 13th floor in on a hotel elevator.
Yeah, sure. So you just want to go from... Like, do you want to go from 39 to 41, or do you want to give it, like, some breathing room, right? Like, really, like, leap over it and go from, like... 36 to 53.
I think I'd like to go to 39.
Yes.
Then 39 and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Then 39 and three quarters.
Okay, so we're approaching it asymptotically.
Yeah, and then 39 and five sixths.
Okay.
And then 39 and seven eighths, right? But then 45. I think that would be good, because I think 45 is kind of like, you're coming into your own, you've realized life isn't going to, you've seen some shit, and life isn't going to bother you anymore, you're getting close to 50.
How do you feel about a radical, sort of anti-aging therapy, where we blast the Earth into a further radius from the sun.
Yeah.
Right?
So like
it'll take longer for us to get around the sun.
Yeah.
So the year is longer, so people don't have as many birthdays.
Yeah.
So that means you don't age. But also, it'll have the benefit of reducing global warming.
Do we use maybe like a big magnifying glass to kind of like keep summer days kind of nice? Or do we have to live in a kind of like Arctic world?
No. I mean, we just take it far enough out. Like, I reckon the Goldilocks zone has got a bit of play in it. Like, yeah. I reckon we could be reasonably further away and still.
Where would we put our Earth rocket?
Good question.
You know, because like.
Where would you attach that Earth rocket?
Yeah. Would you think Polynesia?
I think what you would have to. I think you would have to, because the Earth is spinning, right?
Yeah.
I think you would have to put a spike. You have to make a sort of a pincer thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
That has one spike that goes into the North Pole and one spike that goes into the South Pole, and then like a big semicircular kind of hoop thing that goes all the way around the Earth.
Maybe a full.
So the Earth can keep spinning on that thing, and then like the rocket is attached to that hoop, sort of in the middle of the hoop.
And it can come around.
Yeah.
It can come around and change direction and stuff like that. And that would also help with blocking out some of the sun. So that would already help with
the big hoop or the rocket as well. How big are you picturing the rocket?
It's got to be pretty big.
It's huge, isn't it?
It's got to be maybe 500 kilometers across.
At least 500 kilometers across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but then where do we get the fuel for that? Do you think we start just...
Moon.
No, but do you think maybe we could start just... hollowing out the Earth a bit, getting some of those nuclear reactions that are happening on the inside.
This has got to work with your, because all that stuff's under pressure, right?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's under pressure. Yeah.
Right. So say the little things that we put into each hole of the pivot points in the North Pole and the South Pole, they're a tube, right? And we drill that real deep inside the Earth, and then the tube goes out and around, right, from both ends along that hoop that's around next to the Earth. Right, that connects the two pivot points. And then in the middle of the hoop, there's like just an outlet, right? And we just, the pressure from inside the Earth squirts that magma up out around the tube and then out the back of the hoop, the hole, and blasts us out through space. And the Earth will end up a bit hollow.
Sure.
Okay, but that's fine.
That's fine because then
that we'll space
have...
in the Earth, real estate. What can we use that for? Fill it up with
put all our stuff
garbage storage.
Oh, eventually we will. I mean, first of all, there'll be more minerals in there.
Yes,
because I mean that's the problem at the moment. We're just mining the crust.
Yeah,
wasting our time.
Right, it's not like an apple. The good stuff's not in the crust.
It's not like wait,
the
is
skin.
An is an apple? Yeah, okay.
Apple doesn't have crust.
If you have a crusty apple,
just a few crusty apples ruin the whole batch.
Absolutely.
Barrel.
Imagine that if you open up an apple and it was flaky, crusting.
Mate.
Ooze and crust.
What would be the like, the worst possible name for an apple? The flaky Greg.
Oh yeah, the flaky Greg's pretty bad.
You know.
Is there an apple called a Jonathan?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's already really funny.
You're right. That is very funny. Who was like, what should we call this animal? This animal. This apple. Jonathan?
Jonathan.
It's bad enough when people give dogs human names.
Yeah.
But an apples? Apple. That's not even in the animal kingdom. Come on.
I'm eating Jonathan.
And it's not even a whole plant, you know? Like it's just a small part of the plant.
It's just a seed delivery system.
You know, that would be like if you called your fingernail oak tree.
That's right. Yeah. Or if you called the crease.
Please come up with something funnier than what I just said.
Great. If you called the crease where your ass meets your thigh.
Yes, it's already good.
Right. If you called it parlor room.
Yeah. Parlor room.
I think I liked your enthusiasm for supporting my idea. Because I really didn't think at all before I said anything there.
Right. I support everything you say and do. But it's Jonathan, how do you wind up with an apple called Jonathan? It just sounds like it's designed to be told off now. Yeah.
Jonathan!
Like, if you want an apple you can berate,
yeah,
pick the Jonathan.
Pick the Jonathan.
Jonathan!
An apple you can berate.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a great selling point.
Mm. Because think about it. What can apples do that humans can do? They can bruise.
Yeah. They can split in two. They can be eaten.
Yeah.
You can plant them. They can fall out of a tree.
You're right. In many ways, apples are not that different to people. they can both be likened to bad apples.
Yeah, they can really make an apple pie.
Yes. I mean, I guess Granny Smith is like a trend, you know, part of the trend, isn't it?
Part of a trend?
Well, of giving human names,
yeah,
to apples.
Yeah, the granny definitely kind of gets a little bit dehumanized. I think for a long time I didn't link it with a granny.
Right.
You know, I would link it just with, it's the just apple. The word granny.
That's interesting.
Because it could sound like it's an adverb.
Granny.
Yeah.
It's like, it's quite grand.
Yeah, it's a very granny apple. Oh, this one's flowery. Well, this one's granny.
Yeah, does that go the other way, though? Like, do you think that way about actual grannies? Because you call them gran.
Yeah, well, I don't very often call mine gran. Oh, see, so I haven't had... I'm sorry, that was a real shutdown, wasn't it?
No, it's all right. No, I mean, it wasn't much of an offering, Alistair.
No, Andy...
I think some offerings deserve to be shut down.
You think so?
Yeah, fail early, fail often.
Can you hear that, impro people?
Yeah.
Can you hear that? Fail often, fail sometimes.
Yeah. Like, in improv, do you think that when the first person who ever said, always say yes and, somebody said no?
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they didn't know the rule at the time.
Yeah.
And that person they should have listened to.
That's right. They didn't apply it anyway.
Andrew, do we...
Alistair.
Just kind of like having to kind of reorganize what we've done so far.
Done is a strong word.
Yeah. So, is there something in this planet that we're hollowing out by shooting the magma into space? We were doing it initially so that we aged slower and we all felt better.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
But I realize, though, that if the years are longer, then, like, for the same number of birthdays, you will look older. So, at least for the people... You know, while numerically you won't have had as many birthdays,
yeah,
physically you'll look terrible.
You know? Kind of like 1 year could be like one presidential term.
Yeah.
So you come out of it looking, you know, you go into a year looking like young Obama.
Oh man.
Come out of it looking like, you know, retiring Obama.
I think that's just a great analogy to use, like just to say somebody who parties hard or whatever is like. Man, he lives his years like they're presidential terms.
Mm,
because at the end of them, he has aged considerably. And he makes a lot of money from speaking tours. Way too much. I don't understand the economics of those speaking tours, man. Like, where are they getting the hundreds of thousands of dollars that it costs to get Bill Clinton to talk at your one event?
What could he possibly say?
What could he possibly say at this point? I mean, yeah. He's written books. He's given speeches, I'm sure, that you can watch online.
Mm.
He had 8 years of giving speeches, really well-written speeches. Rewatch those. If he's got something that he didn't put on the table when he was the president, I'd be very surprised. You can get all of that for free. I'll tell you what, I do a service, $50, right? Pay me $50. I'll edit you a highlights reel of Bill Clinton's speeches, and I'll send you a box of shapes.
Whoa. There you go.
That's a whole event.
I mean, you're not really valuing yourself that much
there. I don't care. I'm just trying to save these people some money.
I know.
I want the economy to be more efficient.
Yeah, I know. But isn't the economy better when money's moving around?
Oh, yeah, that's true. You got to get that money.
But then is Obama now part of the 1%? He wouldn't be the 1%, would he?
He'd be up there, I reckon.
Yeah, 2-3%? But there's a huge drop-off after 1%, I think.
Is there really?
Like, I think really? There would be. Isn't that the...
I thought there'd be some kind of a curve.
I know, but doesn't it like the 1% own as much as like the you know, the next 2/3 or whatever?
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Oh man.
So look, I've got to.
No, I think that is. I think that is a thing. I like how crazy it is, right, and how elaborate it is. And I think, like, it being pitched quite seriously in a press conference or something like that as the way we're going to deal with global warming.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Like, coming from...
And global aging.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Like, you know, they're adding in what are the extra things, what are the extra benefits that we get out of this. It's a triple threat. Fix global warming. Slow aging, and find somewhere to put our garbage.
Tell you what, it's a real risky move, though. You want to make sure you're rocket scientist.
I don't know. Occasionally, you just got to go for a. You just got to try something. You know. Like, I think humanity has been playing it safe for a long time.
I guess because you got that swinging around rocket thing, you can keep readjusting.
Yeah.
But what if your rocket breaks down? I guess you can just shoot yourself back into orbit at any point once you fix it.
Hope you can fix it.
Yeah, as long as you can fix it.
It's not even really a rocket. It's more like the Earth is now blasting through space like a balloon with the air being let out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a balloon rocket. Did you ever make balloon rockets? Made them once.
Along a piece of string?
Along a piece of string, you get a straw and you get a balloon.
It's the kind of thing you'd find in like one of those kids' science experiment books.
Yeah, they're really stretching the bottom end of the science bracket, aren't they?
Well, you know, it's still a bit like rocket science.
I suppose.
I mean, what are you going to tell kids to do? What are you
going
to
give off.
Them? What are you going to give them? Like liquid nitrogen, liquid hydrogen, so that they can ignite it. And...
I don't know why I'm playing this character where I don't enjoy rocket balloons. I love rocket balloons. I made them when I was a kid and I had a great time. And I was trying to be cool and act like I didn't care.
Andy, I tell you what, when you play this myself, character. Of a guy who loves rocket balloons, it's really unbecoming of you.
Nah. Hey, I've written down the word doubt on my hand, Alistair, because I had an idea before.
Great.
And, you know, this is probably nothing, but it's going into the science. I'm leaning into the science.
Sounds like you're really embodying this idea so far.
And we may have talked about something like this in the past as well, but it's the idea of like the additional properties that particles can have, right? Because at the moment they can have mass and they can have spin and they can have charge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some other stuff, I don't know. But I would like it if they could also possess doubt.
Right? Yeah, right. Is there like a limit on how many properties they have, or is it just how many properties they've discovered?
I think that's a good question. I don't know if they think that there is a limit to how many properties they have. I would say they might have... put a cap on it as part of the standard model of particle physics or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I just wanted to introduce doubt.
I mean, the idea of doubt doesn't seem that crazy with kind of particles, especially when you look at the way that, like, an electron moves.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't move in a very certain way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's probably Heisenberg uncertainty. There probably already is doubt. All right, forget it. It's already done. I came up with the thing that already is.
Andy, you're just an instinctive microphysicist.
But I was wondering, like, the idea was linked to dark matter, right? Because we also don't know if it really exists, right? Yeah. And maybe that's just because doubt is a property of the thing. Like, maybe not being able to prove whether or not it exists is a part of its nature.
Yeah.
Maybe you could measure as part of it, like, you know, you could measure the probability that it exists, and that's like a fixed thing.
Is there
associated with it?
Is there an element that maybe like dark matter could just be a probability cloud, and the reason that we can't see it means that it doesn't collapse into a thing, so that into existence?
Whoa, Alistair! Oh yes, I love this.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I mean that is exactly the kind of high level scientific bullshit that really gets me going. I mean, yeah, I mean, people talk about, you know, there's a cloud of gas out there between, you know, the Crabhead Nebula or whatever. Can't it just be a cloud of probability?
Probability cloud. Maybe.
Shit. That's bumped the microphone.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear.
I couldn't, but I could tell from your face that there must have been something going
Something's going on with Andy.
You know? Oh, he seems very distressed.
I'm worried about him.
Look.
You know.
The doubt. Spaced out.
Spaced out. I think it could be a thing. I don't know if it could be a sketch, though. It's more like, I guess, the future of physics than it is a sketch. It's more like, I guess, a Nobel Prize, probably, than it is like a little sketch for whatever it is that you're doing over there. It's more like a, you know, $1 million and, you know, changing the,
so the property face of,
you know, reality. But,
okay.
But, no, you don't write it down
Do you want me to write it down?
Not really, no.
What about, so, like, people are on a rocket, they're going to Mars?
Yes.
Or maybe they're already on Mars. Which one do you prefer?
Are they still on the rocket, but on Mars?
Yeah, they could be in the rocket on Mars. Right. They're deciding, they're talking, they're thinking about going out.
Yep.
Right? They're getting, putting on their spacesuits. They're having a chat. Yep. They're going, oh, this is going to be fun, probably. It's good to have made it.
Yes.
I mean, imagine if it all went wrong now. Right? I'm going to bring my lucky egg. Oh, you're not supposed to bring eggs.
You'll contaminate the surface of the egg. No.
Well, maybe also.
Yes. I mean, the idea of anyone having a superstition at that point is very amusing to me. Like...
Yeah.
Oh, but oh, look, Alistair, this is probably taking it back into the territory of stuff we've done before.
Mm.
But a presidential candidate who a big part of their campaign is the fact that they've got their lucky egg. You know, they're talking about the team they've assembled. My vice president, Mr. Klein Wilkinson, obviously, you know, former... Secretary General of the United Nations, obviously, is very wise, intelligent.
We can make it the Australian government.
I'm doing American.
Okay.
I'm doing my American accent.
That could be a woman, too.
And, yes, this is a woman. And I've got my, you know, chief of staff.
Borneo.
Romania, Bononio. She's really great.
She's got
and,
great.
Of course, I've got my lucky egg.
And then the voters are all like,
oh, I like the sound of that egg.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I mean, it's got them this far.
Yeah.
I guess in the same way people thought Trump being a businessman.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and also he'd been like, he'd sort of screwed people over and stuff. Well, now he's going to be doing it for us. He's going to be using all those tactics. He's going to be doing it for America, for us.
A screw now, over Mexico.
He's had that lucky egg his whole life. Now that lucky egg's going to be working for all of us. Share that luck around. This is my favorite idea we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I'm picturing the egg. Now, Alistair, I don't know how you're picturing the egg, but is the egg peeled?
Really? I just picture a little face drawn on it.
I think I also was picturing a face drawn on it. How great's that?
That was really good.
Oh, that lucky egg.
But wait, so you picture it peeled with a face?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I just, the colour in my mind was like a peeled egg. It doesn't, we don't need to go into the details. Alistair, don't, come on. Don't get bogged down.
Right? Do you think it could, we could just have a four-part series on all the different types of presidents?
Yeah. Yeah, four-part series. The four different types of presidents. You got your lucky eggs. You got your candidate in a box. You've got your reluctant president.
Yeah, reluctant, for, and then you've got a woman president.
Yeah, the four kinds of president.
Sorry,
but there's I mean, there's a huge risk there, isn't it? That somebody else could get a hold of the lucky egg.
Absolutely.
What if the lucky egg decides to
leave?
Well, leave or run against the, I don't know, somehow. We find out the lucky egg is conspiring.
I mean, if the Democrats flip the egg.
Yeah. An egg flip?
That would be amazing. That's why, I guess I was assuming that it was a Republican
president.
I'm
quitting comedy after this lucky egg idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, Makes me so happy. And it's got to be the president. It can't be the Australian Prime Minister. That's so shit.
Oh. What if we had a Republican? We had our own president.
No. No, it still doesn't count. Even if we were the most powerful nation on earth, I would still want it to be the American president with a lucky egg.
Could it be the equivalent of Xi Jinping in China?
In China.
Mm. But then there's just an element of, I think because we're right. white, and then we're kind of like, we're saying that they've got a lucky egg, it makes it sound like we're saying that's just the thing that they do.
Yeah, it's and a Chinese people might cultural.
Not, people might not think that it's as weird.
No, we're saying it's Americans. It's a thing that they do.
I know, but they just go, it's a thing that this American man does.
Mm.
Or woman.
Or woman. They could also be a Chinese national. Because in this future, the lucky egg allowed them to circumvent.
They didn't need to be born in America.
But the egg was born in America. That's how they could do it.
Technically,
the egg was on the...
So it was actually the egg that was the president.
Egg president. Egg president.
And then there's a scandal, like...
Oh, no.
Where they find out that he actually dropped the egg 6 months ago, and that this is just another egg.
The luck was inside him all along.
I know, but the egg's the president.
Oh, yeah. So it's like the movie Dave. I think that's the one where they're like the president's replaced by a lookalike because the president's in a coma or something.
And they just found one, or they had one locked and loaded.
Well, he was a guy who impersonated the president as a job.
Yeah, right.
He like, you know, he showed up to events looking like the president, and then the president went into a coma, had a heart attack. I think it might have been Kevin Kline playing. Ooh. Anyway, they got this guy in to do it because they thought the president will come out of the coma and will be able to carry on as if nothing's happened.
Mm.
But then the president died, and then it was like,
was it played by the same actor?
Yes. That made it a lot easier.
It makes it a lot easier than in the reality.
I mean, what a scoop, though, that they were able to get him for both roles.
That was incredible, actually.
I mean, to lock him in once for a movie is great, but to lock him in twice?
Journalistic scoop.
Journalistic scoop.
Oh, what a scoop. I'm just picturing somebody picking up dog shit.
Oh, with a scoop.
Yeah.
Oh, the pooper scooper.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of something like that, where if they try to do it with a lookalike and, like, you know, like an impersonator, and nobody buys it.
Yeah, wow.
You know? Because, I mean, how quickly it would crumble for the government when people start going, what is this?
Yeah.
Like general, like, you know, pundits and things like that going, well, they've
clearly... A man who looks a bit like the president...
Has been talking as if he's the president. There's no word. Why is it no word as to whether or not this is a joke? We're not understanding. And then they have to, like, explain.
We thought that you wouldn't notice.
We thought you wouldn't notice.
You caught us and we're really embarrassed.
The president went into a coma. And
you thought this was the way to deal with that?
Yeah.
Get a pretend one who looks like him a bit. Yes, well...
I mean, they have a very different face. I mean, I can understand... He does the voice okay.
we had that, I think, on a previous episode of the podcast, that one party... We actually did have the one party runs an impersonator of the leader of of the other party.
Yeah, right.
That's sort of mocking them. And everyone votes for them because they think it's a funny impersonation.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, is it? Good.
So that's I guess we can't write down this one then.
Oh, look, maybe not. I mean, it's a different idea.
Yeah, it's a different idea.
Yeah, we'll write it down.
I'll write it down just because, you know, since we haven't done anything with the other one yet.
Yeah.
This
one,
you know.
I think there's still a gap in the schedule, you know?
Yeah.
A schedule gap. That's two back-to-back president ideas as well. Isn't that great? Look, we'll make one of them the president of a different country.
Well, it could be the president of, like, the Lions Club.
Great.
You know?
The Rotary.
I guess that's... Well, it's even lower stakes. The idea that it's, like, the president of a surf club or, like, of a Scouts.
What is going to happen to the Rotary and the Lions Clubs and stuff? Are there more people going to go into them? Can you imagine anyone you know joining one of those community organisations?
I think I know one person who might be a
Rotarian?
No, the legacy. The one, you know, the big stone cutters there. What are they called? The real
Freemasons?
Ones? Yeah, I think I want to know one person who's a Freemason.
You're a Freemason?
Yeah.
Wow, I would have thought they were, like, definitely extinct.
No, I think they still give each other help.
Man, the Freemasons, it'd be worth getting in there just for the real estate. They've got those Freemason halls all over the place. They're good big buildings, good locations.
You could run comedy gigs there. Well,
exactly. That is underutilized public space. That's a comedy festival venue waiting to happen.
Oh my God, Andy. And only you and I know.
We're the only ones who know about this sweet scam. Right. But also, there can't be that many of them left, right? And you could use it. What a great mailing list as well to get people along to your shows.
They probably all have money, I imagine.
Probably, yeah.
Right, they're all helping each other get more money.
Maybe you could let them.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm in for Freemates, right? Special, maybe not a handshake, free but certainly mates. A promo code.
Freemates race.
Freemates race.
Freemasons.
Just use the promo code Freemasons.
And you can get in for
25% off. is that a sketch? Us getting into the Freemasons and then just totally misusing their whatever it is, their like their resources, their mailing list. We make it to the top of the organization. Because look, Alistair, these weird cults and societies and religions and whatever they are, the people always get to the top, and what do? They start having sex scandals. They start abusing their power to sleep with people.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be refreshing if somebody got to the top of one of these organizations and then started using abusing their power to get people along to their open mic night?
Absolutely. That they run in the venue.
Yes. And then maybe this down the track, this would become the next, you know, this is going to be a bad taste joke.
Sure.
It's going to become the next Me Too. Right, that you know, at a certain point in the future, we realize that it's not okay to force people. Oh man, if this happens, I am fucked. In the future, if we realize that it's not okay to force people to come along to your comedy shows, I mean, you know, we're all in big trouble.
And
there's going to be a reckoning.
This will not age well, Andy. If one day they find out that it's not okay to force people to come to your comedy shows, let's hope. Oh my God, I'm really worried now.
Well, I mean, it seems fine now, but maybe that's just the circles that we're surrounded with and the culture that we're a part of that normalizes it. Anyway.
Andy?
Did you write down that join the Freemasons to set up comedy rooms idea?
Look, I'll write it down right now.
I think that's a thing. What was the thing you were writing before then?
The previous idea.
Yeah.
And I can't write.
You can't write and talk at the same time. You can't write and then communicate a completely different idea through a different medium simultaneously.
I know, it seems crazy. What I was writing down is trying to replace President of Lions Club
with a lookalike.
With guy who makes fun of him. So it's the guy in the community who does an impression of him, makes fun of him.
Yeah.
But because this guy is in a coma.
Yeah. That is good. There is always someone in the community, you know, who like, you know, at some muck up night or whatever, end of year dinner, will do his little bit where he impersonates somebody.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I impersonate your brother George.
You do, and it's very good.
It's
in some ways it's more like him than him.
Yeah. George who
edits the podcast.
Edits the podcast.
And deserves our respect.
Deserves our respect. And he's very kind to us, and he helped He teched our show when we were doing it at the comedy festival.
He didn't just tech it. He was complimentary about it on a consistent basis.
Oh, yeah, that's
which
true.
Is the ultimate tech. Absolutely. Right? Not only did he manipulate the lights to make the show look good, he manipulated our emotions to make us feel good.
That's true. And he still does to this day. But he can't kind of sounds like this. Hey, how you going, guys? Nice to hear from you. Hey. Oh, fucking hi, Triple J. Hi.
It's uncanny.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, whatever that thing was, Freemasons.
Freemasons.
I like the idea. I like the dawning realization in the other Freemasons that's what we're doing.
We've been played.
Yeah. And it's like the one the sketch that we came up with on the previous podcast where the bully gets into the company, and once he's in there, it's hard to get him out, especially once he's got power.
Yeah.
It could also be played off as like an expose type report about the head of, say, Scientology or something that, where we reveal that they've been forcing people to come along and watch their comedy shows. You know, which, again, there could be some questionable politics to this.
Well, I think we don't
All of these ideas take place in a universe where there's no politics.
Well,
and you can't compare anything to anything else because nothing's an analogy.
Yeah, well, especially if we don't make it seem like an exact analogy, that will be easier to make this world resemble that world.
Well, I mean,
No.
I could put the work into making it not seem like an analogy, or it could just set it in a universe where that doesn't happen. It's like your guy, the world where there's no maths. Well, this is all in a world where you can't say that, and people don't notice if you did. All right, so cut me some slack.
No, I'm cutting you. I'm cutting you heaps of slack.
Cut me.
Cut me.
Some slack.
Just cut me. What's that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just such a confronting thing to say, honestly.
Cut me.
Cut me.
Yeah, I think if you saw me open, it would really weird you out seeing the different sides
Did I tell you about the time I saw inside my hand?
You sawed? Inside your head?
More or less, yeah. I think I probably told you. I probably told the podcast about this.
I'm not sure.
Well, last episode we were talking about the terrible bits of the body. Another terrible bit of the body is the bit between the thumb and the forefinger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that flappy bit there. So I once I'm sorry if I already told this story. I got a craft knife. It was like I made mum buy me one. Right? Basically, like it's scalpel.
Yeah, and then
it was a craft knife.
And then you cut.
I took it up to my bedroom. And I was like, I want to do something with this craft knife. What can I do? And I got a candle. I had a candle, so I just started chopping up the candle with the craft knife. But I was doing it, holding it in my hand and cutting towards my hand. I stabbed down into that flappy bit of skin. Right, the full depth of the blade of this craft knife, which was like probably about 2 centimeter long blade. Right, down into there, and I had my hand. I went Open up my hand, and when you stretch it out like that, obviously your skin's all stretched, so it doesn't look like much of a hole because it was all stretched and all tight. And then I closed my fist, and it just opened up like a mouth, and there was like a hole into my hand. I remember seeing inside my hand, looking down into this red fleshy blood hole in there, and I just screamed the house down. Everyone downstairs knew I'd got this craft knife. I'd had it for about 3 minutes, probably, and like at the they would have just shared a look of like, oh, here we go. I wonder which part of himself he stabbed with the craft knife. Take a while, just take bets or whatever, get a book going.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was my hand.
Do you think at that time if you had opened the mouth, sort of the mouth between your thumb and your...
Yeah, and popped a Cool Mint in there.
No, I mean...
I could have. It was about that size.
Size of a Cool Mint.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, what about if you put, you know, like one of those windows you have at the bottom of boats?
Yes.
Yeah, but in your hand, like in a cut.
Glass.
Like that. So kind of like the holes that you put in your ear, but they're just little glass windows to the inside of your body.
Yes. I mean...
Because, I mean, that's... That's something we don't do. It'd be called like aquariuming or something like that.
Yeah, fish bowling.
If you could get rid of like a lot of that front of your gut and just put in a pane of glass.
This is absolutely a thing. Yeah. We'll get this technology. we will get this technology and we'll find a way to interface flesh neatly in a non-toxic, non-rejectable way, flesh with a transparent, whatever it is, sheet or window or something, and you'll be able to look inside people. I have absolutely no doubt that that will occur.
Do you think in your lifetime...
In my lifetime.
You'll lay down with someone who has that and they'll take off their shirt and you'll be looking at their breasts, but there'll be no breasts. They'll just be two sort of like paperweight glass domes.
Like a snow globe?
So I guess they could be snow globes, but you can see behind the beautiful wintry scene on the ground.
You can see
like the rib cage and maybe the moving red from their heart behind their...
Alistair, there's two parts to this hypothetical, isn't there? Because there's the one about the body horror, right, and about the flesh windows. And then there's the other one where I'm having an affair with someone who isn't my wife.
It could have been your wife, but I didn't want to say, I'm not talking about your wife. I mean, that seems like a horrible thing to do.
She might make that choice, I guess, at some point in the future.
And would you support her?
Of course.
But would you try to talk her out of it if she started saying...
Of course. Unquestioningly.
But Andy, that's what she wants.
Well, then I will support her.
I know, but then why are you trying to talk her out of it?
LSD, I've got to do something.
I know, but it's perfectly safe. It's actually... It's so safe, doctors are trying to not have to do it because
it's... So safe, doctors are recommending it. Look, it's exactly the same to not do it as it is to do it. That's exactly how safe it is.
Yeah.
But also, you'll have a little window, you'll be able to look in there and see if anything's going wrong. So it might make it quicker in the future for us to diagnose things that
could
be wrong.
You could operate on the heart way quicker because you just take out the globe, the snow globe.
Oh, yep. You unscrew it.
Just unscrew it.
You get in there. We can... That's interesting, isn't it? Like, it's a preemptive thing. Like, when they sew up a wound...
Mm.
They always sew it up with double knots. Why not sew it up with a bow?
Yeah.
That way.
You could
if you
open
ever need
up
to
later.
Do it again. Or put a zipper in.
Zipper. I like that. Maybe some Velcro.
Velcro. Yes. Magnets. Clip. Press studs.
Oh, press studs would be good.
Yeah.
Because then you could strip.
You could rip it open.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, a second skin would be good like that in that way.
Do we have some three words from a listener?
We do have three words from a listener. Andy, you're going to be really challenged by this one.
I'm challenged every day by everything that you say.
Great, Andy. And I appreciate you continuing to have me around you.
Likewise.
Great. The person who donated the words today is called Will.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Will. Thank you. And you, I think he mostly just goes by the three letters.
W-I-L.
W-I-L.
Yep.
I think maybe sometimes if you go deeper into the Patreon app, it shows you people's full name.
I don't think we should reveal that.
I don't want to reveal that at the moment.
But it's good that
we... And also, I haven't done it right now, and my phone's on flight mode while we're recording.
That's very good of you.
But Will, you know who you are, especially, and if you don't know...
This is going to give it away.
These three words are going to give it away. Here's his three words. Are you prepared? Yep. Alistair Tremblay. Virtual.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The people are trying to challenge us.
Do you think that's what's happening?
Well, I mean...
Do you think this is a direct challenge?
This is a direct challenge. This is a direct challenge to our capabilities, Andy.
This is a real... I never realized, but this is a real Iron Chef kind of secret ingredient challenge.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? They're revealing the... Mm. What was the one that we had in the previous episode?
Five sketch ideas?
No, but they revealed the ingredient. I think it was men's penises, I believe, was the ingredient.
The men's penis,
The
men's...
The penis of the man.
Yeah. I think maybe the man's penis would be easier than, say, like, potato.
Mm.
Like, if you had if the secret ingredient was, like, potato. And you, like, make like, a three-course... You know, gourmet dish using the main ingredient, potato, you'd be like, all right, whatever else. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I could get something together.
I mean, what are the things that you can do with potato? Only any culinary option.
Chips, mashed, roasted.
Baked.
baked. I mean, that's what roasted was.
And then there's crisps as well, and you can make that potato foam. Alistair. Anyway, this isn't the point. The point is, we've been given you as a comedy premise. Would you say that there is anything funny about you, Alistair?
Well, and it's not necessarily me. Not necessarily me. It's my three words.
Also, would it be fair to take issue with this because Tremblay Birchall is hyphenated, making that really only one word?
But I would say see them as two separate words with a little trailer bar between them.
Right, so they're cooperating.
Yeah.
They're linked, but they're still independent.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like...
It's kind of like you and me.
Yeah.
Would you say that we're not eligible to be suggestions?
I mean, I regard more of this as like, you know, two separate people, but then like handcuffs.
Hmm.
Like we're sort of trapped together.
Yeah.
Like we're fleeing, I don't know, irrelevance, yeah. Say.
Great. Or?
But because we're stuck together at the wrist, we do have to, we have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Alistair, I hope you don't regard it this way, but... I think we've probably chosen our last comedy pairing for life.
Really? There's a chance. I mean, it depends on how young one of us dies.
I guess. But like...
And I haven't had my moles checked.
There was a point somewhere along the line
mm.
where we moved from being two people who work together sometimes
yeah.
to you and me. This is it.
People
this
hire is it us, for us. This hire is our, us as a pair.
Yeah.
I know, but that I think that definitely increases our chances of getting hired more.
You think
somehow.
So?
I think so.
I guess we're like some sticky tape that's now sticky on both sides.
Yeah, somehow you gaining
we're
stickiness.
We're more likely to get stuck to things.
I don't know if any of this is true, but look, I think that there is a chance that we've made that.
Yeah.
Scenario.
It wasn't like a conscious decision in any way. I would make the decision again. I want you to know, Alistair.
Or I would let choose. It be made. Sure. I would let this unconscious decision be made for me once again.
I would let this inevitability take place, yeah. as I do with so many inevitabilities.
But, all of them.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. did that make you uncomfortable in any way?
No, Andy. No.
Did it make you comfortable?
I now feel more certain in my future and that there's going to be. I guess I started thinking about death a little bit because I was
really?
Thinking about the idea of a last comedy pairing. I think maybe the word last made me feel weird. And it made me go, like, what if we just do a little project, you know, off on the side. And
that
then...
was my way of saying, Alistair, that if you try and leave,
yeah.
I'm going to kill you.
Oh, well, see, I think it's better if you just spell
and
it out
me,
like that.
And me.
You're going to kill you too?
Yeah.
What about our families, Andy?
I'm going to beat you to death with me.
All oh right. My God.
Yeah. I'm going to lash my legs to a firm, rigid pole, and then I'm going to swing my waist.
Oh.
Right?
Wait, just the middle part?
My upper body. Yeah. I'm going to use my upper body as like a battering weapon. I'm going to bludgeon you to death with myself.
I'm amazed that you chose to hit me with your top part rather than your legs.
I guess it's more intimate.
I mean, like, I would
more
probably... I'd probably cut off my legs.
Yes.
And then tie the 2 feet and ankles together.
Yes.
I'd sort of put my upper torso in a wheelchair and then come at you, or like a mobility scooter, and then swing the meaty parts of my legs at you with my hands. But I'd probably have to be, like, really anchored into this chair.
It's like... It's the worst possible version of that, like, that riddle that's where somebody gets stabbed and you, like, the revelation is that they got stabbed with a knife made out of ice,
yeah.
Right? It's that, but turns out he beat him to death with his own legs, which he'd lashed together and wheeled up to him in a wheelchair. That's why we couldn't find the murder weapon. With these
and
legs.
He'd strapped his legs to a pole and then bent over really hard onto him to kill.
Nobody uses bending as a weapon.
No.
You gotta think about it. Every hinge in the body creates two potential weapons.
Yeah.
Right? The one above the hinge and the one below the hinge. Right?
Yeah.
Normally we use the hinge of the waist to do fly kicks. Right? Or like just kicks.
Kicks.
Just big kicks,
yeah.
Roundhouse kicks, that sort of thing. But there's two ends to that hinged lever. And you'd be a fool to overlook the top end of the hinged lever.
Absolutely. The bending over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the sitting up.
Yeah.
Because then you could hit from laying down into sitting up.
Yeah.
If somebody was, let's say, trying to check if you are still breathing. You do the quickest sit-up you've ever done.
Yeah. Smash them with your entire upper body.
Like, I'm going to write this down as a sketch.
Yeah, I think there could be something in it. Would you allow me to classify this as a sketch inspired by the name Alistair
Trombley? I don't think so.
All right. Well, see, I would argue that because we started from that as a jumping off point, that this is like, this falls under the categorization of Alistair Trombley Birchall sketch. And I, if it was me with my name, yeah, I'd be honored.
I know, but I would, this sketch, I would love to tackle this one straight on just to see.
Sure. Okay. It's very vain.
Eh? Well, I know, but I think somebody's challenged us, and we shouldn't be trying to go through some obtuse way.
Backdoor. Okay, so it's just going to be about the words Alistair Trombley Birchall.
Yeah. Blay, you know, Trombley. It makes me think of blade of grass for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hall. I didn't realize my name has the word Hall in it. Burke Hall.
Burke.
Alistair. All is there. All is there.
Air. It ends in air as well. Alas, the air.
Alas, the air.
Mm. You know, and that could sounds like somebody mourning the fate of our atmosphere. You know, alas, the air.
Because alas is something you say when
you're sad about
something. Oh, right. I always thought it was like, oh, finally, alas.
No, that's at last.
No, I know that. I thought that was Atlas. No, that's a big planet.
Yeah, I mean, the hyphenated nature of the surname, I realize the hyphen hasn't been provided, and for me to focus on the hyphen, the only thing that isn't part of the three words is a little...
Well, I think maybe he had it.
Sure. I want to know, you know, because this is a thing that people talk about a lot, or, you know, what happens to the next generation after the hyphenation has occurred, right? So you...
Oh, yeah.
If you opted, you've got a child.
Mm-hmm.
He has your partner's surname.
Yeah.
And it's a good surname.
Thanks. We went the next level because I thought you can't triple it up.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I wonder if there's a comedy angle in that, in the, like, you know, in the, what do you do?
Absolutely. Well, okay, so it's a couple.
Yes.
Who are going to see a naming consultant.
A name therapist.
A name therapist.
Yeah.
And they're giving them their options for what they want to do.
How they can approach this. Yeah. I reckon they both have hyphenated surnames. One's a Trombley Birchall.
Yeah.
One's a
Milroy Matthews.
That's the hyphenated surname of my children.
Yeah.
Great. And this is nice. Sounds like you or one of your brothers is going to marry one of my kids and then have children. So, I mean, good luck to them.
Very good luck. Or maybe me.
Or you. Yeah. Good luck to you. I mean,
it would take luck. I mean. I mean, you did say this was going to be my last comedy partnership. There's a chance I may be pushed out of the comedy scene. Because of... Anyway, Andy,
And they I go to the consultant and they talk about all the options. Do you just take every alternate letter of the names? Do you hyphenate one half and one half? Do you take the tops of the letters and then the bottoms of the other letters? Because we can cut things in any direction.
Basically, what you can do is you can take the two names and you can make an amalgam of both names, and then you hyphenate the two amalgams.
Yeah.
So, for example, me, Trombley Birchall, could be Burleigh.
Burleigh, and I, Milroy Matthews, that'd be Milius.
Milius.
Burleigh Milius. Hilarious.
Burleigh Milius.
It actually doesn't sound all that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this way you're going to get much more, by that cross creation, like it's because it's a much more evolutionary and genetic approach to combine the DNA of the two names like that.
That's true.
It also creates new, unique names, which allows us to get better Twitter handles.
That's true, yeah. And then
email address.
Maybe after they talk about the different ways that you could join the names, they could say, maybe you could just look at the names and say a word that you feel inspired by.
Yeah, word association.
Yeah.
What we can do is we can write both the names down on pieces of paper, feed them to a goat, kill the goat.
And the sound that the goat makes when it dies could be the name or last name of your child.
Yeah, death rattle of a goat.
Death rattle of a goat.
Method. I think that's a sketch.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's going to come down to what we do with it, Alistair, as many of these sketches do.
Really, come down.
But I think that if we've proven anything from our comedy festival show, it's that given 600 sketch ideas, we're able of turning at least 10 of those into something watchable.
Yeah, there you go. And there was some that we dropped that maybe we dropped because they were just not quite ready yet.
Yeah, yeah. We could pick them up again.
Pick them up.
Resurrect them.
Andy, I'm going to take us through the sketch ideas.
Through the forest of sketch ideas, Alistair.
Blasting Earth to the edge of the Goldilocks zone so that we can age slower and fix climate change. It's mostly about, it's mostly about the aging slower thing because the years will be longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it makes everybody happier.
Yeah.
To just like, oh, I'm so glad I might not even make it to 40.
So it's not about the climate change. It's the climate
I think that's a nice side
bonus.
Bonus. But for me,
it's fighting the passage of time and proving that we are masters of all. You know,
we're masters of all things. Yeah, and also we could then use our planet like that, like a ship, and we could go around the galaxy and fight crime.
I think it could also be funny if this was done by someone for an even more mundane purpose, you know, like to get more time for an assignment or something. An assignment where the deadline had been given in years rather than in days or weeks.
Sure. I mean, like, I definitely thought that to make it feel like you're aging slower was a very pretty mundane, quite flimsy reason.
I think I can come up with something flimsier.
We got the president with the lucky egg.
Oh, so happy about that. Oh, tell you what, I'm glad. I hope this isn't just my last comedy pairing. I hope this is my last comedy day.
Yeah, great. We got trying to replace the president of a Lions club who's in a coma with a guy who makes an impression of him in town to convince the members of the club that everything is okay.
I think what's great about that is that we've taken a high-concept movie, Dave, and we've made it more mundane.
Yeah.
And I think there's a fertile area of, you know, content to be made from something like that.
I mean, if it was a group of blind people and it was just a guy who could do the voice, maybe it would be easier for them to believe it.
Great.
You know, but like, and then they'd be like, let me touch your face.
I think also an impersonator who just does the texture of somebody or the smell. I mean,
you know. You get six guys, one who does his smell, one who does his texture, one who can do his voice.
It's the full experience.
It's the full, they'll never feel like they're without a leader.
Yep. Next thing, Alistair, what else we got on that list you got there?
Join the Freemasons to open up comedy rooms.
This is such a good idea. I mean, I feel like I've genuinely just thought about this. Like, you drive past us, not just Freemasons, seniors' centres. I drive past those all the time. I'm like, you could run a night there.
Lithuanian clubs?
Yes.
Like, or all those kind of weird European countries that have their own
weird
houses.
European countries, yes.
You know, like smaller countries that
are weird.
Are not in, like, important on a global scale, but their communities are strong, and they've opened up a house that they can go to when they want to have a one of their weird alcohols.
Yeah. And we get in there like a virus and open up comedy rooms.
In there where people don't really get what we're talking about.
I mean, that's just comedy, isn't it?
It's great, yeah. glass window into the flesh. I mean, this is, you know, I guess we're just exploring this extent of this new technology that we've developed. I haven't really built much of a sketch around this yet.
Well, my relationship's broken down, apparently.
Well, not necessarily.
That's an element of
not
it.
Not necessarily.
No? All right.
Maybe it had broken down, but then when they came back to you, they had these things. It was like, you know, they underwent a change while they were gone. And it was in the change that they realized that they liked what you guys used to have.
That's true.
And then the thing that you liked...
When they could look into their heart, literally,
yeah,
they knew what they
were. Through the snow globe in their chest.
Sorry about this, Carly.
Two guys using their bottom and top halves to attack each other.
And then we'd finally know what would win, the bottom half or the top half.
Exactly. What's better?
What's better?
And then we got the name therapies, a therapist for double banger last names, and what you can do when both parents have a double banger last name.
Double banger last name, double banger last name, double banger, double banger last name, doppelganger game show, doppelganger game show, gamma dama dimma dama dim dam dama dimma dad.
Did you say the...
Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, the former president of Iran.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, to In the Think Tank. We like it when you do that. And if you want to review us on iTunes, that would be nice. Somebody reviewed us from Canada, said we were lovely.
Well, that's really
nice.
I want
to say that you are lovely.
I want you to know that you are lovely and that we all think that you guys are lovely, especially when you leave those reviews on the thing.
You can find us on Twitter. We're at 2 in Tank. I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
I'm at Alistair TB.
And we're on Facebook and we're on Patreon. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can give us three words. Try and stump us.
For $3.
We've proven that it can't be done.
It can't
be
done.
Bring it on.
Maybe we've also proven that it can be done. But
you'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Quite appropriately.
Ever so much. And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.